At the coincidence of you starting to talk about this and then it shows up everywhere is like very suspicious.
Oh yeah.
It's very suspicious.
Yeah. Nice.
It's true. It's true, though. But, ladies and gentlemen, today is February 12, 2018. To my right, I got, of course, Mr. Farghini. To my left, I got Buddy Weirich, and I'm Alejandro. And let's talk about pussies and... Well, let's talk about cars, yo. Hit it, Pedro.
Here we go again. Here we go.
I'm not going to do the song because everyone was saying that last time you didn't play the song right. What happened with that?
It was the first 30 minutes of it being launched, because what I like to do is I like to mute all of the tracks except for the dialogue, but I dropped the music down to a bottom track that ended up getting muted on export, because I don't want other like background music to pop in. So it's
right, because you never want to export everything at once.
Yeah, so I exported it and I re-uploaded the file and everything was fixed.
I got you. So, thank you.
Look, I was firing blanks. That's why I'm
doing the do-do-do-do. It's so necessary for people to have a backup to the song.
I hear you.
You know, it's not the same. It's like watching The Simpsons without the opening on the couch. It's pointless. I don't even remember the song, but I know you're not making any. No.
That's kind of it.
No.
Stick to Foley.
Wow. There is a do-do-do-do in it. Can you at least give me a do-do-do-do?
No. Foley, okay. Leave the jingles with this guy.
Okay, your jingles, I'm Foley. Okay.
This is the jingle, jingle guy.
That's another monster name. I'm Jingles.
Jingles.
Foley.
Jingles. Jingles, you want that? Jingles.
What do we got
my
today?
My boy Jingles.
Hey, what do we got today on the schedule?
Valentine's is on Wednesday.
Oh my God, are you ready?
Are you ready? I'm ready. Are you asking, are we ready for what you're about to tell us?
For everyone listening and not watching, I'm giving Farghini the finger because he does not have to get ready for Valentine's.
I ain't got shit.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. This is easy for me. I have two sons that I'll just give them flowers and they'll melt her heart.
But you need your own plan too.
When they're at that age, she knows.
Everything is too cute.
She knows that it's because like I did it.
So what's Tata going to give Balloon?
I need to go out there and train Tata. So there's no podcast. Thank you very much for watching, everyone. I am not ready. And I'm hoping this doesn't come out anytime soon so Belen doesn't know that I'm not ready.
Well, last year you did like 6-foot-tall roses.
I did, and
they were taller than you.
And I also promised her to take her with me to Italy.
Oh. But that wasn't Valentine's. That was
it was her birthday, which was a month later, right?
Yeah, that was our anniversary.
Statue of Limitations almost over.
No. I got good news, everyone.
Did you just say Statue of Limitations?
We're going to Italy now.
Peter, you can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
Yeah, we're 100% going.
So next year.
When you say we, who's the we? Who's included in the we?
You're coming, son. Because Belen and I may already peace on the idea that we got to travel and we got to do. We do what we do, right? Which is a big thing that we need a lot of time together. It's just inevitable, and of course. So I told her, babe, would you mind taking that trip? And then we split the trip in, you know, it can be I want to say two, but it's thirds because from 9 to 5, it's just me and the boys fucking around all day. Okay. And then after that, I'll be too exhausted to go anywhere with you.
Right.
And then during the weekend, we can go anywhere.
Well, it's like 11 to 7.
I would do it differently May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Like 2 days with us, 1 day with her, 2 days with us, 1 day. Why don't you do it like that? So you put in full days.
No, because she wants to go to several places. It'll be fun like this because it's not like we're not going to go to dinner or anything like that.
You know what I recommended to her? I was like, look, if you're going all that way and you're worried about us working, just bring Jess. You and Jess can hang out. And then I got to thinking, well, Ivan's going to be with us and that's a bad idea.
No, hang on.
By the way, it just turns into us just sitting in a different place in
we
Italy.
We just never
just
do
working.
Anything.
We're just the same thing. It's just in Italy.
Belen and Jess having a blast and then us just working the same thing. No. Fuck that. I want to have a good time in Italy. I miss Europe.
Yeah.
It's been crazy this year. Busy. So I told myself that I'm going to give myself those breaks. We need them.
Have you thought about the dates at all?
Yes, I have the dates already. What? I don't want to say them here because...
Well, make sure you tell us so that we can put it on our schedules.
I will. Okay. Well, I'm confirming with Belen all of the stuff, all of the dates, and with a buddy of mine that's there this week. I got to check my passport.
Yeah,
my passport might be expiring this year.
Yeah, we got to take it.
Mine expires next year. So we're getting off topic.
No.
We were talking about Valentine's Day. I was going to lead us into topic about love. because I think that that's a very important topic right now.
Aww.
But it is mostly because I want to know what car do you love the most?
Oh, I thought you were going to say what car you made love in the first. I was like, oh, that's easy.
That's not for Valentine's.
I'm kidding.
That was a Ford Explorer.
Wow, a lot of Fords. Everyone's banging.
Ford is back.
I worked a lot on my Jetta trunk.
Wow. Hey, listen, you really are a trunk guy.
That is the trunk challenge.
Is that where it came from?
That is the real trunk challenge, people. Go on, buddy. I'm sorry.
So what car do you love the most? The one that you would love for the rest of your life? Like, which is the car that you would want to be with forever? Like, you're just stuck with it.
I have terrible news for everyone. My everything has changed. I'm going to let you go first, Harsha.
I'm just going to go. My Raptor. Mm. That's it.
I'm going to say my Raptor, too. Once Miney's done with the Rolls Royce like interior, what else do you want?
Yeah.
Now it sounds like we're advertising for Ford.
It says, let me repeat this. What car do you love the most? The one that you would love for the rest of your life? Not car that you currently have or you own.
I'll love this for the rest of my life.
Raptor, what else do you need though? Do you not love off-roading and how fast
I love
you can
how on road it is. I love everything about it.
What about you? Yeah, it's fucked up.
I already have a request from
I've got a shocker.
Oh, do you?
I've got a shocker.
How's your asshole?
What?
I'm so lost. This is gonna be one of these episodes. You know what I'm going to go with?
What? What's the shocker?
I would go with an Urus.
I totally see that.
And you know what? I would want to give it a Raptor-like treatment, an off-road treatment.
Can't you order?
No, I'm talking about I would want to put like the racks on it, the lights, some good off-roading tires.
Don't even say that out loud or John Olsen's just going to go do it.
About to,
trust me.
That's why I dipped into the Ford.
Because
that's my idea. if it were your idea, he would do it.
And by the way, we go off-roading. Buddy pulls up and then he parks and then gets someone to throw the Raptors because his won't make it into the trail.
Yes.
All right. It's going to be one of those. No.
Okay. But I do agree with you that that Urus is pretty sexy and you can do everything on that.
Everything to it. And honestly, that kind of brings us into the next topic. And there's a lot of people that they want some updates on kind of what's going on with the channel.
And
one of the questions was, what's going on with my car? Like, what's the deal on it? And
can I answer that?
Yeah,
I'm kidding. I have no fucking idea what's going on.
Go
what's going on with your car?
So I'm planning to buy a car next week.
Ooh, okay?
I'm planning to buy a car next week. And
a Raptor?
For the longest time, it was going to be a Raptor, but I'll be honest with you. The two of you guys owning a Raptor kind of took the edge off of it for me. It really did.
What about an F-150?
Even still, there's way too many. There's too many trucks.
Too many F-150s.
Too many trucks, and I don't want to feel like I'm like just doing what everybody else is doing.
Me too.
I don't want to be part of the trend. You know.
I want to
take something and do something different. Bikini, you didn't even give me an opportunity to actually cut that out. It's just like overlaid on my.
You'll leave that in there.
Sorry.
So I think I'm going back to the Explorer. I think the Explorer makes the most sense for everything that I want to do.
In family, though.
Yeah. But I wish that the Ford Bronco was coming out now.
Oh, I know.
How much longer?
No, 2 years.
2020, two years.
You could swap out.
And I did hear that they are going to do a Raptor version of that Bronco.
That's it.
Game over.
Ivan, please put mine on hold.
Ivan, put mine on hold too.
If I'm not the first one asking for it, I don't know who the fuck it is.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
That would be insane.
So I hear Raptor version of the Bronco and that it will be four doors. Like it would kill their sales if they went with the two door.
Absolutely. But
you guys realize it's not that hard to make this car, right?
No.
Everything's already there. They just need a beautiful body.
It is.
And I think Ford's getting there.
Yeah. Look at this. You just want to stare at the Raptor.
We even said, forget about just the Ford thing because they should pay us for everything we've just said.
Yes.
I just mean trucks in general.
Yeah.
They're at the highest.
I believe they're the best looking trucks.
Yeah. Ever made. So.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going with. I looked at Explorers a long time ago. I was in love with them. At the time, they were out of my price range. But now seeing like what what I've discussed with Tommy, because I've been talking with him all week on like what we can do to the Explorer, and he's like all in.
Can you tell us some of the stuff you can do?
Well, there's a picture of an expedition that was at the Detroit Auto Show that's been going around. It's kind of like baby blue, like the color of the Senna that they did.
Okay.
And it's got all of the off-roading package, the racks.
I know exactly
lights.
What you're talking about.
Yeah. So I talked to him about doing something similar to that with an Explorer, but doing it to another level.
Explorer.
Yeah,
the Explorer. But there's an expedition that they
had
the
picture.
If I didn't say that, an expedition.
What color do you want it?
I'm going matte black.
Oh, what a fucking copycat!
With orange accents. So I'm going matte black, and I want to do some like orange trim.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
You really should.
Kind of
like what we saw on that sexy Aston.
Exactly.
That would
look
amazing. Exactly. Amazing.
So that was my update, and then the other updates was I'm just going to list these off and you can go at it. RDB, Evan Paul, Taco Shop, and Cold Brew.
Holy shit. Okay, RDB, love Vic and Mano. We just have it. We don't have time to go there. That's one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be completely selfish on this answer. I'm so fucking busy these days. And on top of that, I decided to get a baby squirrel now, which is, I'm dying. I'm legitimately, my eyes hurt right now in my head. But from work alone, I just don't have time. I know. I just don't have time for anything. And we're at gas already. And gas is allowing me to make all these crazy ass projects that I never in my life thought I'd be able to do that goes beyond the Raptor. And I don't want to just tell you guys so that you guys wait and wait and wait like the taco shop, because the taco shop is happening already. It's just I can't show you like, oh, we're picking the kitchen materials right now and this is where it's going to go, because I want where it's going to go to be a surprise too. So,
yeah.
On the taco shop, it's a surprise. It's coming.
In due time.
And it's actually not that far off. We're finishing the kitchen right now, and then they're gonna go redo the whole area there and just put it up. It's not that big of a deal. We got all the permits already for it. It's all set. RDB, just with gas, working along with those guys, and them giving me the opportunity that they've given me to do certain projects that I've always dreamed of. Number one, I really don't have the time to go back and forth between RDB and gas and then
it's
go
over
home.
An hour.
It's over an hour. Yeah, back and forth. And
I think that it's important to say that and squash it. There's no beef with RDB. There's no fallout with RDB.
No. That's just people making shit.
Running their mouth.
The fucking boys are legit. And if you guys miss it, make sure to check out their YouTube channel, RDB LA, on YouTube, people. So Vic, Mano are busy as hell. They have their own YouTube channel. We're all busy.
Plus, they don't have time for our chat. Like when we go, they're on air live.
Also, yeah. I feel bad fucking with them and bothering them when they're doing their shit, because it takes away from both of us. Because
they're in full swing with their show.
I know.
They're in full.
But it takes away from
what they're doing. It takes away from what we're doing, because our timelines are completely different. And also, I just feel bad going back and forth and also telling guys, thank you for giving me all these opportunities. Also going to go there. I'm a loyal dog. I see something and these guys are giving me an opportunity. Let me spend some time with these guys that are giving me the opportunity to work on these great projects that I've always wanted to work on, and just see how that develops. Yep. So that's that. And Evan is the same answer, except Evan is fucking two and a half hours out that way.
It's 6 hours.
Yeah. So you can only imagine that answer multiplied times five. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also at Galpin, literally they have like every element of what we need to use. Like when we get there, like, oh shit, they have this.
Whenever we don't have anything there, the first options are whatever is around us by the house.
Yeah.
Can I be selfish?
I am so grateful that we have this thing with Galpin, just because like if we're filming late, I'm at least right there by the house.
Or early, right here at home.
You know, like if we're down at Evans, like I'm getting home late.
Yeah.
And I'm making the dreaded call to the wife, like, babe, I'm gonna be home
at 8:25.
I'm sorry.
If things go well.
So that's good. It's good for us. Like it's a good work life balance for us to take on more work.
Yeah.
But then the last thing was the cold brew, which basically what happened with the cold brew is the guy that I was dealing with, he wouldn't budge on the pricing. The pricing didn't work for us. And then ultimately, he just couldn't come through on where we needed to be. So
I have updates.
Yes.
So I'm looking into this. This is a lot more difficult than I thought. I just got a call from a guy that I thought was going to be the one. He's not the one. So I got to put more work into this, because it has something to do with the way they do the bottling and this and botulism. This is what I wanted to say.
Yeah. For the cold brew, it's completely different set of rules than from the ground bean.
Yeah.
The ground bean, I already have done. It's already packaged. And even, and remember that we said we were going to bring it from Mexico to here. We're still going to do that. Mm-hmm. But in Mexico, people reached out from big chains and were like, can we have the exclusive for a couple months so that we can just sell it alone ourselves?
Yeah.
That's fucking huge to me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I didn't even try to get on retail, and retailers are calling saying, let me give you an exclusive. So no fucking problem. Absolutely, we're going to do that. We're just finalizing all the stuff with those guys.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do the ground coffee first in Mexico. It's going to last 2 months. And I'm thinking that the cold brew along with that one is going to be coming out around the same time here in the U.S.
The cold brew is hard. I mean,
it's really hard right now, you guys have found out.
It is really hard.
I found a guy who's the best at the concentrate, but he doesn't bottle. So I got to find a guy who bottles. I got to find a guy who
It's all the moving pieces.
It's a lot of work.
Thank God, the packaging and branding we already have. It's just...
If the mechanics actually...
The problem that the guy who does it all,
he's so
small, like the prices just can't compete. Like there's no margin that makes it even...
No. You got to go with the big dudes, and we just got to buy into the big dudes. But it's all good. It's just, again...
We're working through it.
And listen, guys, we try to be and put ourselves out there for you guys to see this, because there's no struggle. There's no setback that's going to fucking punch us in the face and be like, all right, that's it. Thank you very much for participating. I'm out. There's none of that. There's all these motivational guys that we all follow online, but none of them are fucking showing you shit. They're posting incredible quotes with their signatures. Look amazing, lots of likes, but they're not showing you what the work is. We're here, even though it's self-promotion, there's no question about it. We're here showing you what the work is like, and we're talking to you through every single stage. And before you see that, then later on, that's going to evolve into something, and later on, we're going to turn around. I'm going to show you, this is why we did this, this is why we did that, this is why we picked those, and that's why we structure everything like this, so that now we have a company that does that. Because that's the real way of doing business, that's the real way of showing people, and teaching them how to... that it's fine to fail, that it's fine to hit some walls and just keep moving and getting your shit done. So this is why you guys got to be a little bit more patient with us with all these questions. We're going and we're telling you things as we go do them, and everything in life takes time.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing we can just pull out of our asses and just...
This is a good lesson. Anything you want to do is going to take time.
Yeah, and it's perfectly
minimum
fine.
3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Like, I already know a new product's going to take us a year.
Like, well, how long did you take with Puku? Like, how long did that process...
Year and a half, almost 2 years before it got into our hands.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's important for you guys to hear about it from the stage, from the thought stage, right? When we're thinking about the thing before even we put it to work, all the way to execution, so that you understand and see how the idea evolves. Because everyone thinks, I'm going to write a business plan about selling coffee, and this is how I'm going to do it, and that's how it's going to work. And then I'm going to follow my business plan one by one. Fuck that. You're never going to start if you follow that, because nothing is going to go according to your piece of paper. Everything is going to go according to whatever the world is giving you at that time. So that's what we're trying to show you, how we start with A and we finish on Z, and that's perfectly fine. It's part of it. And that's what we...
It's like your squiggly line.
Yeah, that you can't get like directly into your goal. It's going to be a blah, and then eventually you're going to hit it. So that's what's going on. There's no beef with anyone, unfortunately, because beef brings a lot more subscribers.
I want beef. I want some beef.
You know what? Hey, RDB has our Sawzall. If we don't get that Sawzall back...
Vic.
I'm coming, Vic.
Hey, Vic. Listen, just whenever I come, don't have that in your hands.
Vic, I'm coming, only if you don't have it in your hands.
That's right. That's right, Vic.
That's what she said?
Or Mano. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know if I wanted to go there.
No, well done. Right. Well done.
So part of that question came from Anmol on Salamanjan.com.
My brother.
He had another question, I think that this is a really good one. He said, Elon's car launch in space. I hope you guys saw that.
Yeah.
Did you? I know you weren't here. You were actually filming, but we watched it here.
Yeah.
Incredible. One of the most magnificent things I've ever witnessed. If you could have a wild publicity stunt like that, what would the wildest publicity stunt be?
You can't ask me such an incredible question in just like a... Come on.
What
about you, Farshad?
What would I put in the rocket?
No, just, what would you do?
What would your wildest publicity stunt be?
What would your...
For Puku.
Like, for example, for Puku Pals, what would your stunt be? I know mine. For Puku Pals.
Okay, if I met a tremendous amount of sales,
yes,
I would do something spectacular while I die.
Guys, wow. Okay?
If the sales would go up.
This is why I'm in charge of marketing and all that stuff. You ready? I dress up the Statue of Liberty like a Puku character at night. so that everyone wakes up the next day and
they like see the actual Puku Statue Bear. Of Liberty?
Yeah, fuck
oh,
yeah.
Oh, you would dress up the Statue of Liberty.
I thought you meant you.
Oh, that's a
No. I would dress that up would literally be, the Statue of Liberty at night. Remember when we woke up in the next, in Hollywood, we had Hollyweed?
Yeah.
I would do that. How about that? Just a quick one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
What about you?
Yours is actually like more realistic than what mine would be.
He goes, crash collapsing Mars.
No, I would like to project one of my edits on the moon.
Wait, is that...
That would be really
dope. Possible. It could be possible.
I don't know if it's possible, but it just sounds amazing.
I'm going to tell you why it's not possible, because the side of the moon that we're always staring at, unless the moon is completely dark for the most part, is
I have no idea how it works.
So think about the moon, looking at it like that, you can't do it unless it's completely dark, right?
Uh-huh.
So whenever it's dark, I think you can. If you get a fucking crazy ass laser
technology
projector.
These days, man.
No, from the satellite. No, you'd have to do it from the satellite. Project it from the satellite onto the moon.
Yeah, from wherever. But I'm saying, you need still a crazy laser projector. Yeah. I don't think the one that they use at the bar that I go to, that it's already washed up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm watching
1080p.
Football. I'm watching football, and I'm like, yeah, that's the Giants. And then a quarter later, I'm like, oh, that was the Broncos. Fuck. Like, you can't see shit.
That's it. That's all I have on that one.
But that would be like a great one for a movie.
You know what?
I guess. Yeah.
And then we could take that projector and use that projector to project onto the Statue of Liberty, the Puku stuff.
He's actually just dressing.
I know, but that's going to be how you're going to do it with helicopters and stuff. You're going to climb up there and dress.
Hang on a second. Elon Musk built a fucking rocket, dude. Can you give me a little bit of credit?
All right, sure. Okay.
Dressing up.
And he's not a rocket scientist.
Okay. All right.
Rodrigo told me this story. He was sitting with some people and asking why they don't build more rockets, or why they're not pushing forward. And the guy was like, oh, it's just so expensive. And Elon said, well, what if we cut these costs, this, and this? And so he eventually just taught himself how to do this.
Everyone can do anything just by teaching.
What was it,
themselves.
2 years, Rodrigo? 2 years. He learned and studied, and now
he's a rocket scientist.
Doing.
I haven't learned anything in the last 2 years. Like nothing.
That's pretty dope, though, that he did that.
Actually, that's a good segue into something I had for the end of the podcast, and I'm going to take the bait now.
All right, great.
We just passed 1 million followers.
Yes.
1 million subscribers.
1 million subs on YouTube, people. It's 100.
We did. And the question, hold on, now I got to scroll to the end to get to it, came from Mustang Nick. And he said, now that you passed 1 million subscribers, what are a few things that you learned in that time? I'm sorry, I'm going into deep questions.
Oh my God. What have I learned in all that time?
Yeah.
First of all, I learned about YouTube's algorithm. I learned that YouTube, even though they pretend that they love the community and they care so much about the creators, they give a little reward to those people that work 24/7. And that way they make these creators and vloggers, and they make them sick to their stomach because they can't take a fucking day off. That's serious. Right, yeah. So I learned that. By learning that, I realized that YouTube does not give a fuck about me, and then I don't want to be like that and live my life like that and be sick. So I've learned to take my time. I've learned to understand what a banger of a video is that week, and that we need one or two every week, and the rest can be not such like... I don't know how to say this, like a high expectation content, right?
Yeah.
Whereas you can just let go of other content that you're just making because you're just documenting your life. Your life can only be so interesting. And our job is to make whatever is not that interesting as possible, right? So I've learned to do that more, and especially lately, and just give myself the time and just do the content the right way, working with others the right way, because everyone thinks just by collaborating, calling the guy that has all these rich, all these fucking fancy cars, and you're going to get all these... this crazy following and all that stuff. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. If the people following that guy just follow him because he's doing a giveaway or whatever, and then you come in and do something else, there's no real engagement to that audience, and it's never going to translate into anything. So I've also learned that you want to work with people that you know for a fact their audience will have a chance or a bite at you, if that makes any sense.
Of course.
So I've learned all of those things. I've learned that nothing happens overnight. I've learned that you just got to let the process show you. And then I learned that Salamundo is just fucking on fire too. Like, I don't, and also I learned at the same time that I don't know shit about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's what I've learned about it, and I'm fine with that. And what I've learned is to be fine with it. And that's been great.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, forget he just said that he hasn't learned anything in 2 years.
Go ahead, buddy. Can I tell you the great thing is I get to, it's amazing. I get to read how people feel about me.
Oh my God.
That's also cool.
You haven't learned anything then. Go ahead, buddy. What about you?
I think the one thing that I learned is don't try to be perfect.
Yeah.
Don't try to be perfect. That's my biggest takeaway is just do it. Like, don't worry about it being the absolute best that it could possibly be. Obviously, you need to always try to
have standards.
You need to try to be your best, and you do need to have those standards.
But they'll be hung up on that.
Yeah, don't get hung up on being perfect.
Be human.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
you don't
have fucking great.
Yeah, you don't have to be. So that was my biggest takeaway, because like when I first started, it was always like in my mind, like, gosh, we could have done this, and this, and I get frustrated. We need to go do this, and then finally, it was just like, all right, let go, and just pump out the content, and we did, and it just started flowing. And
yeah,
that's when it really
just pump, and that's when you get into rhythm,
just
right?
Pump, yeah. Pump you start and let feeling go. It. Pump and let go.
Just get out there and do
it. Pump and dump.
And also, I love that we've been trying so many different things, and that we've done so many different types of videos.
That's another great thing. Try
all of
things.
Our channels. Yeah. Yeah, no one does that shit. Yeah. Everyone just sticks to the one formula, and then they try a different video just once.
Oh, they wait to see what we do.
And people don't like it now. and people don't like it, and then they go back into their safe into their safe zone. And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Get out there and fucking try new things. People want to see new things. What is next, buddy?
Okay, so speaking of new things...
have we talked about cars yet?
No, we haven't even talked about cars, but we're going to talk about cars now. Do you want to do another warm-up question?
Yeah, why not?
Another warm-up question halfway
through? Throw me the warm-up.
Halfway is
the Listen, we're going to start that radio thing, and we're committing a lot of time to our show, so let's get used to it.
Okay,
and we need a Ronnie.
We already got a Ronnie. Don't worry. We already got a Ronnie. He just doesn't know.
So this next question comes from African Emoji.
Don't be racist.
Okay. African Emoji. Okay. And he says, if you could make any of today's hyper or supercars a three-pedal manual transmission, what would it be and why?
I wouldn't do any of those. None of them. None of the hypercars.
I wouldn't do that either.
I would not do any
of them. Hypercar,
nope,
supercar.
Nope,
you
know.
Nope, nope,
hey,
nope.
The greatest hypercar with a manual already exists. It's called the Porsche Carrera GT.
Yeah. Because the thing is, the whole point of that, all those transmissions, is to no power
be
loss,
as fast,
fast
as possible.
And me going.
It would be.
I understand, but for the
imagine the Senna. You're going in a Senna.
And then you're going to turn two.
No.
Just think more about it. Like, none of them you would touch.
No.
You know what? The AMG GTR, I would.
No.
I would. I think that would be a fun one.
Let me tell you something. Do you remember that the Hellcat Challenger came out with a manual and an automatic?
Right.
Have you talked to anyone that got a manual?
No, I haven't talked to anybody that owns a Hellcat, period. I was hoping Farghini was going to be my first Hellcat owner.
I'm not getting
a
manual
Hellcat. It's too much power to the... Like, it's just not enjoyable.
Mm. To me, the lower the power the car, the you want a manual to have more fun, to ring it out.
Yeah, like a Golf, like an underpowered Golf.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy the shit out of that with a manual.
Ring
the
it out.
Cayman, the GT4, one of the most enjoyable cars with a manual.
Okay.
A hypercar with a manual? Fuck that. The Carrera GT is at that bottom. I mean, dude, you're going from first to second gear. We had traction control on, which, by the way, is fucking made out of chocolate. That doesn't work. I'm going first to second on Malibu, right on PCH. And the fucking car just goes, like, it just does what. And that's the end of that.
Yeah.
That was the best car at that.
That's 600 some horsepower, right?
600 horsepower.
Okay, so it's there. That you're right.
With
it's
a V10.
There.
5.7 liter V10.
You're there.
What the fuck else do you need? That's it.
But as far as
and
like
it's perfect.
But for the driving experience and like the enjoyment, like, you don't think that with the
you
sound
enjoy
and
it,
the
no.
torque and everything.
What about you? What would you do?
I just told you the AMG.
But that's not a hypercar.
No,
I said hyper or supercar.
No. No, I would.
I am completely the opposite of those people that sees the Facebook timeline and just goes, "When is Facebook going to go back to its original thing?" I'm the guy who just looks at it and says, okay, if I'm going to continue using this, is this going to be okay? Yes. Okay. That's it. Let's move on. Moving on. Yeah. I'm not going to look back into, let me get another manual. That's great. Here's the Carrera GT. Let's call it a day. We have incredibly fast cars coming out right now that are so exciting and can allow fucking people like us to put up the craziest numbers on a track that would never happen any other way. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Also, with a manual, I can't check my phone. So that's
it's true.
African Emoji, I am so sorry.
I am so sorry.
This went a completely different direction than I anticipated.
Hang on. It's also because every car guy is supposed to be or pretends to be, every car guy pretends to be a car guy way too much. And they're like, I'll turn anything into
manuals
a manual.
For life.
Get the fuck out of here. Carrera GT, greatest manual car ever made. Probably the McLaren F1 might be that one. But if it's not, I guarantee you the courage to come to close second.
So then we're going to jump out of this and we're going to hop into a discussion about the GT3 RS.
Fuck that car.
Tell me, what do you feel about it?
What about it?
So, we knew the point.
Do you want to explain a little bit of what you know about the car?
So, what I know about the car is they just did a 0.2 refresher on the existing GT3 RS. It comes with a PDK, and they are already calling it the fastest production car that Porsche has out now. But they say that right before the GT2 RS.
Yeah, but they could say that. They could say until that drops.
I don't know how a naturally aspirated car from Porsche with 500, it's going to have
it's
what?
Like 587, I think.
587?
I think so.
How can that beat a GT2?
I'm just going off of what they're saying. So
until the GT2 numbers are officially published, they're going to take that. They're going to take this.
They're running with this saying this is the fastest.
No problem. Okay. And now you could be a manufacturer with two of the, you know, like back-to-back fastest.
Of course.
Cars.
By the way, I love the GT3 RS setup. For everyone that doesn't know, the people that make the GTs in Porsche, at Porsche has said that they're going to just be offering the GT3s with a manual. The RSs are always going to be PDK because they want the RSs to be track weapons and as fast as possible. So hopefully this GT3 RS does not come with a manual. But if it does, that's, I guess, awesome for those people that like, again, going back into that thing, that, again, great for everyone. I don't know if this car will be a big enough draw for people. No, you know what? Because it's so much cheaper than the GT2 RS. The 2RS is $350,000. It's going to be $250,000. It's $100,000 cheaper. That's actually a lot of value.
Are you putting in the market adjustment or not?
No. I don't have to.
Is there market adjustments on these?
There always is. So when the GT3 RS came out, the original one, like the purple I had, they came out at $150,000 over.
Yeah.
And then after a little bit, they cooled down. They came to $100,000. And then after that, $70,000, $30,000. They're still going for about sticker and around that.
Wow.
They hold their value like crazy because they're a production limited car.
Per year?
They only make 1 year of the car.
So this 0.2 is going to be the only year that they make.
Yeah. So they make as many as they can for that one year.
The GT2 RS is going to be the same thing. They're going to make as many as they can
for that,
that year. So which everyone was hoping for that to be the more limited car.
What do you think the performance difference is going to be between the two? Like how much?
No, it's a world.
Tenths of seconds, right?
No. Between.
What I'm saying is if they're saying this is the fastest right now, they're saying that because they know the GT2 RS is going to be faster. And when that comes out, what's the difference going to be? Like a second, half a second?
No, because now Aero Discoveries, which is what everyone's fucking with, and that's what Porsche's been saying alongside and doing a faster gearbox and doing a faster everything within the car, will transform the cars and make them go quicker. I think it's going to be considerably faster around the circuit, but to the regular user, it's not going to be that much quicker if you're just on the street going from 0 to 60.
Right. It sounds like this might be a good purchase.
They're amazing cars, dude. Yeah. I really enjoyed my purple one like crazy.
I love the purple one. Anytime I see, they had that one at O'Gara, and then
Amber has one.
Yeah, Amber. When I drove that, I was in love with it.
Yeah,
how do they retain the resale value? How do those do?
They do they're at sticker right now. So if you bought one a while back and put 2,000-3,000 miles, wow, you're probably gonna do sticker, or maybe take a $20,000-$30,000 hit. Not even. That's really good for the car. Has been out for 2 years now, three.
And you know people's been beating those cars up.
Oh, yeah. No, because it's a perfect car. It's legitimately the perfect car to go to the track. You drive for 2 hours, get to the track, you whip it around like a motherfucker. You take it out and drive it back home, and it's perfectly fine.
Question. Why would someone get a RS as opposed to just a GT3?
It's just those people that are more experienced drivers that say they can squeeze out all of the power. Like, yeah, if you can, why the fuck not?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like the LT compared to the 650S. Honestly, only very few people are able to just exploit the shit out of that. Yeah. Even the race car driver we had for that video that we made with the LT, the 488.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He turned around and looked at me and said, there's so much more in this car that I could have done.
In the LT,
I just didn't have time to get to know the car that well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's what McLaren's building, those fucking crazy-ass driver's cars.
Now that you're talking about kind of lap times and numbers, I think it's important for us to get back into a little supercar talk. We haven't talked much. It's been a lot of truck talk around here. And with some videos that we're going to be doing soon, we're going to be getting more into some lap times and beating the shit out of cars. One is from Dion89, and he's asking,
my man,
why are there no publications allowed to compare the 488 to the 720S, being that these are natural rivals.
They're not.
I'm just going off of what he's saying, but you would think as a whole that they would be competitors, right? But I know you have a better opinion on this. But also, Ketcher Taylor is asking, what our thoughts of the lap times of the 720S Performante and the Ford GT are on the Grand Tour? So I
don't take anything from any show for anything. These guys have relationships and contracts with all of these companies. So whoever is paying the most is most likely going to do the best, right? And we've known that for how long? Let me ask you something. What place was that Pagani Huayra on the Top Gear chart like back then? He was number one.
Yeah.
Number one. And when we drove 10 cars on the same track, literally there was not a... I think the Huayra only beat one car, which is the Speciale, the Ferrari Speciale.
That was the one, but I don't know.
But it was only that. So I don't trust anything I see on these things. The 4GT is really fast. There's no question about it. But the 720S just has so much more power.
An aero going its way.
But also the 4GT has crazy aero. But the power that the 720S has is undeniable, dude. I mean, look at the difference in the sizes of the engines, right? So
are you familiar with the times that the Grand Tour
I saw them, but it didn't matter.
I understand. They I think it's important.
I'm pretty
for
sure
us
because someone hit me up and said, can you believe the Performante beat the 720S? No.
Yeah, so
he was probably at the Grand Tour's track, which is a very small technical track. Because
it's shaped like the Ebola virus.
I actually don't think that's possible. I don't think that from all the people that I know have both cars, every time they take him on the track, the 720S beats the fuck out of the Performante.
So on their track, the Performante is number one with a time of 1 minute and 16.
I'm out already.
116.8. And number two on the track is the new Ford GT at 117.6. And then there's the 650S and the 720S that are putting a same time of 117.9.
I just stop now, there, please, before my brain just explodes.
Let me get to the last one, and then the AMG GTR at 118.7.
Okay,
but I wanted to say that because these are all cars that you have in your garage, minus the 4GT.
But we have access to a 4GT or two.
So I think that this is the one we go after.
But then we're 100% going after that. And then we're going to prove them wrong. And then everyone's going to go back into their, well, you cheated because A, B, and C. They'll make up their excuse and then they'll feel better about themselves somehow. I'm telling you right now, dude, without doing this, and this is why it's lost so much appeal to me to do this, 720S is going to win, and the Performante, and then the 4GT, and then anything else you want to throw at it. Mm. That's that. Because everyone's doing it right now. Even Brooks is doing a drag race between the A12 Superfast and his 720S.
Yeah. He's already done it? They're doing it.
I'm not entirely sure if the video came out yesterday or today, but that's out. So, and I want to say, without watching the video, the 720S took care of that car, no problem.
Yeah, because of traction, aero, and power.
Because it's not a Ferrari.
No, I just envision the Ferrari. I envision the Ferrari
they're obviously, they've gotten way better than before. It's not going to slip in slightly before.
Yeah, but before, it's 700
something
horsepower.
It's not going to do what the 720S can do. It's just not. Ferrari wasn't ready for McLaren to drop the shit that they dropped. Ferrari isn't ready for anything.
But the A12 is gorgeous.
It is.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
That is my favorite line that Ferrari makes.
If I were to buy a poster of a car, that would be one of them.
Yeah, the poster for sure. What do you think about that?
Well, one, seeing the numbers, it intrigues me and makes me want to do this even more, just because it's a differing opinion, and it's an opinion that I don't share. I wouldn't have guessed that was going to be the numbers, and so it makes me want to go prove them wrong. And it also makes me want to come up with ways to, and it shouldn't matter, but it does make me want to come up with ways to validate the times even more. Which we talked about this a long time ago.
We wanted to do it, but the thing is, do we want and have the time to just enforce this shit and start this little club with everyone so that everyone can be mad at you?
Though it's not so much the club, to validate the times and everything, or having that group, because I think that there are. I mean, that's kind of what Brooks is doing, right? With drag times, essentially is.
Well, he gets his own times, and then he drag races the cars in a straight line. But, absolutely.
But what I think. What I would like to see is two different drivers on the same day in the same cars, like take them both out, like so have one driver whip it and then another driver go out and whip it.
Whip it good!
So that you see like how similar they are.
And
like
it's also important that the drivers are not familiar with one car or the other, because that's just completely destroying all the advantages for
it. Yeah, it's not fair to bring a McLaren test driver out, you know, like or a Mercedes test driver. It's not. You need somebody that has like very high level experience in racing, but they're not like tied to a certain brand.
Oh, my man, but he's tied to Porsche and McLaren.
But there wouldn't be, actually, well, yeah, he is tied to McLaren.
He's very loosely. He's more tied to Porsche.
Which Porsche wouldn't be in the mix until the GT2 RS.
Yeah, you're good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, but the GT2 RS is coming in the fall.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to get one of the last ones ever made.
So he gets one show. So Paul gets one show.
Hey, no, because once, it's like what we did with Hyper 5. Once you know which one's the fastest, you grab that one and take it against everything.
Yeah.
So we can always do that with Paul. If the 720S beats everything right now, and then we take the GT2 RS and that spanks the 720, 2RS is the quickest car in the world.
Yep.
That's that.
Yeah. But I think it's very interesting that we did talk about in the last podcast of, you know, how Ford GT isn't keeping up. And then all of a sudden, like this Grand Tour episode, they already filmed it. It's not like they did it out of spite because of our podcast, because they don't
get the fuck out of here.
I think it's so weird how we talk about it and discuss it, and the next week we see the lap time of the Ford GT. Like I think it's very like weird in this world, very coincidental.
Oh, a lot of things happen like that. That's why we don't joke around. We didn't joke about anything that we don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything that we don't want.
Talking to Farshad the other day. I was like, we joke about being billionaires, and that hasn't happened yet. So
the money one's the only joke.
Everything else works, but not that one.
But we didn't really touch on the Dion 89 question about the publications allowed to compare the 488 to the 720S and how he says that they're natural rivals. You want to touch on the rival?
Okay, part? So I'll touch on the rival part. I think the 720S is not the direct competitor for the 488. I think the F12 or the 812 Superfast. I just realized, by the way, they went from F12 to 812. Crazy. The 812 Superfast rivals the 720S. Now, hear me out. It's the Super GT Series from McLaren and Ferrari's GT Series. These are not, in theory, just like the Ferrari, these cars should be slower on a track than any other car because they're the big GTs, the comfortable cars you can take on long road trips with a big engine, big power, easy access to it, and all that stuff. Now, the 488 would rival the 570. And I know Ferrari people don't like to hear that, but the California T doesn't play with supercar numbers. Like, if you're going to compare that, grab a Maserati and put like a twin turbo engine on it and call it a day. Like, that's that. It doesn't compare to those cars directly. So, and even then, the 570 takes care of the 488. Hope you guys know that performance-wise, if you're talking performance.
God, I love that car, man. The 570.
The 570? Yeah. Oh, and the convertibles are gorgeous.
Yeah.
So you have that one, and then you have the 720S that turns out it's a great Super Series GT, all that shit, but it's also really fucking fast. So Ferrari's going to come out with their sweet 812. It came out with their 812, and that's great, but that's the one it's competing against. Now, why is Ferrari not allowing these guys to put the cars against each other? Stocks, people that don't want to. Honestly, I just now feel bad about just talking about the same shit over and over again. I don't care for it anymore. There's no point. Like the day this all has to go and run its course so that you guys see what I can see or what I think I see, right? So that we stop putting Ferrari in these categories that they don't belong.
It's frustrating. Look, I know
like the Koenigsegg thing.
I know they're technically in different categories as far as like performance numbers.
They are.
And how they perform.
And if people just left that alone and said, that's that, and Ferrari said, yes, that's why we don't want our cars to be measured because our cars are not built for performance. They're just built for driver feeling. If they just said that, everyone would be like, cool. But Ferrari really doesn't think so.
I just don't like how they pop up into the like other magazines and articles where they're showing as performance number of the year, and then they don't show up in the others because the McLaren 720S is sitting there.
Well, like because Ferrari didn't; those guys probably didn't take the money from Ferrari, or Ferrari didn't care to pay them.
I understand that. I'm just expressing my frustrations towards the matters. You know, like it's like the Olympics right now, right? the best athletes from the country that perform in those categories, they're there. You know, they're not holding back because somebody that is better at another country is there.
No, I'm not going to go.
We call this cherry picking in boxing.
Yeah, there you go.
You cherry pick your...
There you go. I think that's a wonderful term. Like, I hate that they're cherry picking these magazines. Like, you build a car and you go to every single magazine and every single car manufacturer and you compete. And that's how we're going to get the best cars, you know?
But also, these car magazines, where else are they going to get their money?
Also, they have less subscriptions.
They have no views online. Like, where you want them to get their money if they don't convince deal? Like, thank God for those old deals that they have already that are like 7 years long. Because fuck, man. Other than that, they'd be fucked. And the other one is manufacturers. Thank God, still pay them to be relevant and be on their magazines.
You know, that's actually another good topic that I kind of had in here, but not directly related. But the old school media versus new school media. And specifically with what you posted on Facebook with the McLaren Senna.
So, you want to give some context on that?
Yeah, so this past week, McLaren brought in a bunch of YouTubers and journalists, and they all got to take a look at the McLaren Senna. They got an up-close look, the interior details, the exterior. They were able to release a lot of information about the car that we, up to this point, have only seen, you know, like posted online or what McLaren has actually shared. And now we saw all of their videos dropped at the exact same time because, you know, they brought them in all together. They filmed all at the same time. And then, boom, they have a release date.
And they gave them the same B-roll.
Yeah, so they gave them pretty much the same B-roll, all used differently. I think what they did was they had a camera team there that was, you know, doing all the work specifically for each person. I can't confirm.
Yeah, I haven't asked, I don't care.
But the quality was high enough compared to what they normally put out that made me feel that way. But anyways, it's here nor there. Just looking at those videos, they were great sources of information for the car. But the frustrating thing to me is, why would you do it that way? And like, once you see one video of the McLaren Senna, why do you need to go watch all of the other?
Well, you're talking new media, old media, and then let's attack that. How about that?
So Alejandro posted on Facebook today the differences between new media and old media, and he had a clip of Mr. JWW and Schmee's videos and the views that they receive under it, and next to it was Evo and Carfection and the views that they have under it. And Mr. JWW and Schmee destroyed their numbers.
Yes.
Destroyed their numbers. The thumbnails were all very similar. There was the car and them standing there.
Yep.
So the clickability was the same, but nobody's clicking on that because no one wants to hear their opinion anymore.
Well, hang on. Listen, just think about it this way. You know when you go to school and there's a guy teaching you finances and then you go, why am I going to learn from this fucking asshole who's just teaching me about finances that's never had a...
financial success.
Exactly. Right?
Of course.
Right? And then you go, why the fuck? That's the same brain... That's the same trigger that's going in our heads right now when we see a car reviewer or a journalist that gets paid to talk about a car. Your opinion is wonderful, sir, but you don't own these cars. So it's kind of irrelevant at the same time because now... And listen, this would have never happened if the online thing didn't explode. But now that you have owners and people that can afford to buy these cars, talking about these cars, and people that use these cars on a regular basis as, you know, from their friends or their own selves and, like, are involved in this lifestyle, your brain opens to a whole different thing. Now, who do you want to learn? Who do you want to learn computer science from? Bill Gates or Mr. Robles?
Or Steve Jobs.
Or Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, even though this is not... I'm not comparing anyone to anyone here. I'm just making a point and trying to clarify it. So it goes to the same. It's the same thing. We're looking at two people like Tim and James that have and can afford these supercars. And this is not a blow to like, oh, you need to have supercars in order to do this. We're just not looking at you guys anymore with the respect that we used to. And also remember, you were the only ones in the space back then. You guys had no competition. Now that there is competition and you're legitimately, as a car maker, you're looking at the two and the guys, the boys, are getting a lot more views and spend way less time and money than the big publications. yet you're putting all of your energy and focus on the big publications, you're making a huge fucking mistake for your own self. Now, if you want to control the message of what's said about your car, here's an idea. Hire one of these influencer-like people that it's really likable to represent your brand, and then feed him all this content. And I'm not saying Tim, I'm not saying James, I'm saying find someone else, someone brand new, like a fresh face, do a talent search and do it for yourself and do a McLaren video about the Senna through McLaren's eyes with that guy. Mm-hmm. Then Ferrari can do the same thing through his guy. And then just let everyone else talk about the car. You know why? Because eventually we're all going to get a stab at driving one and tell you the fucking truth. And the thing is, people are not anymore just waiting for the first release. They're waiting for the release of the person that's going to, that talks to them the best.
Yeah.
That communicates the message the best. So it's not, I'm not worried anymore about like, oh, we didn't get to do this first. Oh, we didn't get to do that. Because we know people that want to watch us and our point and our take on things.
We'll eventually get
it. We'll wait and they'll eventually get it. And they're happy about it. They don't care. If they just want to know minor details here and there so they can get familiar with, they'll do it. But they will wait in order to get our views. So if car makers want to be smarter, just have your own point of view. And also, by the way, here's a pro tip to my dudes. And listen, I'm not here to stir any shit. This is just legitimately for better business for all of us. Tim, James, Sam, all of the guys in the UK, because you guys do work like this there. Whenever a car maker or anyone tells you, come on all in, you all can put out the video at the same time, say no. You guys have the power because they need your eyes. They need your views to get the message out. It's rather simple and it's free. McLaren doesn't want to spend the money on ads. That's why they're calling you in the first place.
Yeah.
If you say, no, I'm not doing that. I need a video that I can show my viewers properly, or at least that speaks to my viewers. Then I'll do the fucking video. Then McLaren's going to be like, oh shit, I guess we got to do that. But until then, as you guys keep giving in into these things that they keep playing you, it's the same content and you're actually diluting yourself a lot more than you think. Because you guys aren't journalists, and every time when I meet with you guys all tell me the same thing. You know, we're not journalists, we're just kids trying to have a great time. But they're treating you like you're journalists. They're putting you in a pack of the people that do the same thing with overlapping audiences and putting you against each other for the first release to see how it goes. It's wrong on McLaren's strategy because we all have the same type of audience. Maybe us, we have a different one because of the a little bit different from here and there. But our car audience is the same thing, like Parker, mine, Seen Through Glass, Mr. JWW Shmi. We all have overlapping audiences, and it's a very small percentage of people that's different. So they're making a huge mistake by attacking the same audience. They're making a huge mistake by sending the same message 187 different times in different ways because it's not the right way of doing it. If McLaren was as good as making content as they are making cars, their YouTube channel would have 800 million subscribers. You guys are not content creators. You're a car fucking maker. Now, call these fucking dudes that you trust because they make videos every fucking day and let them do what they do. Don't tell them how to do their fucking job. They don't tell you how to build the car, do they?
I will tell you, they create beautiful, beautiful content. They really do.
McLaren does.
It just doesn't have a voice. No. They need a voice.
And no one cares about beauty anymore. How are you not looking at numbers with beautiful content compared to numbers of fucking raunchy or you know, just raw content? Just compare it. And then you also have the other people, right, that are truly and really have made themselves believe that, well, those YouTubers are just attention whores. I much rather watch a video on Carfection. That's okay, but you're a fucking idiot because either way, for my business, I need reality. And reality is the YouTubers, as we call them all, these kids have way more views than the other guys. And views equal attention, and views equal interest, and views equal reach. Anything else that you're saying and telling yourself is just to feel better while you sticking a thumb up your asshole.
Views is marketing.
That's it.
It's very simple.
It's reach, views, marketing, and influence right behind it. That's rather really simple. And McLaren is shooting themselves in the foot a little bit by doing this the way they are. Mm-hmm. Because they're limiting the way these guys can actually show their content, how to produce their own content, how to talk to their own audience in a way that speaks to their audience the right way. Rather, it's like, let's just half-ass this with beautiful shots that we have about a car. which is the most important thing in the world. No. Again, you as a car making company, go get your own influencer that you build up and then you put it on your channel and then you have the 25,000 views that you deserve and then let the kids do it right. And even then they'll do a job for you for free. Fuck, which mind you, all these kids should charge you, but let's not even go there. Let's just start with strategy. And then afterwards, my boys are getting paid. Yeah. I'm sorry. And was there another?
I was going to say, all these manufacturers, they're all worried about getting into like car and driver and automobile. And it's like the holy grail.
No one cares about
that. And it's like the holy grail when they get into car and driver. Do you agree? Do you agree there's like a thing with like...
But look, I understand the appeal because most of the people that are in those positions in that company, those were the magazines that they read. Those are the things that were important to them, right?
Correct.
And they are big still, in a way, in their own right, because they were the only source of information back then. And not just that, they knew how to dissect that information. They knew how to break down the numbers. They were very, very good. And I think a good analogy is like sportscasters and sports journalists. Like, they're not always the most athletic people. There's a lot of women reporters on ESPN that never played baseball or never played football, but they're very good at dissecting that information. Should we discredit the authority of the knowledge that they have?
No,
not at all. But now we
knowledge is different from what McLaren wants. Yeah,
exactly. But now we have a group of people that are not only owners, but are also very, very influential with the way that they can reach to a person and that they can connect with somebody on the other side of the camera.
And let me stop you there because that's a huge point, connecting on the other side of the camera. Emotion is the new way of passing information.
Yes.
That's what no one understands. You all think that it's a fucking sheet of paper with all these numbers. It's emotion.
Yeah.
It's passion. It's excitement. It's fucking sadness. It's all of that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go on.
And you're exactly right. And that's what it's all about. They're able to transcend just that one little moment that they get with the car to make it bigger. They make people feel like, oh, this is going to be the next car that they buy for the channel. And a lot of times with these YouTubers, they do. If it's something that really stands out, they go and buy it because they want their audience to experience it even more. And also because of the passing of time and the way that they've read these magazines all these years, it's been a clinic for them on how to dissect that information, how to break it down. And now they're the best. That's why you see people like Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz and Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. These superstars are now on the other side of the microphone because they've learned over time how to give that information. And they also have it firsthand, just like you and James and Tim and Paul and Sam, because you guys are all buying these cars. You know how to present it, right? You know what you want.
Well, the most important thing about the car, rather than just the technical specs, is always knowing who you're catering to, who's your audience, who's going to buy that car, and why does that car exist? And most of these guys just skip that whole thing all along just to give you some incredible data, which, mind you, no one's discrediting the fact that they do that. It's amazing to have that level of information in what they do. But then again, you're getting this much attention for that, yet you're putting 100,000,000% of your resources into that little attention bubble when everybody else is coming and saying, dude, come on into my store. I'm selling 1,000,000 of these. Come on in. I'll just let you in. And you're like, no, no, no. We're going to try to sell way less by me telling you how to sell this 1,000,000. You're fucking stupid. It's backwards thinking. It's people that don't want to take risks. And it's people that have been sitting in their jobs for way too long and have not caught up with present day times. And that's perfectly fine, guys. You will eventually either get fired or catch up with the times.
Or get replaced.
Yeah, no, that's why. There's none of these artificial shit that no one can see. We all can see it. You're making the wrong choices. You're doing this the wrong way. And now, by the way, I was telling on my story just now, I do marketing and a bunch of consulting for a bunch of companies now. It's like a handful of companies. And it's become like, oh, I've been doing this and they have me on year deals. And I didn't realize that that's one of the biggest companies or biggest sources of income right now that I have coming from all these other guys. And I'm just sitting here like, oh, that's a separate thing. That's just that. That's a big fucking job that I have. And my job with all of these guys is to teach them everything that I'm telling you guys right now. And so I'm telling you, these companies need and can see the difference.
So what you're saying is, you're welcome.
No.
You're welcome.
Get the fuck out of here. What I'm saying is, this is happening. I'm getting hired to do this for others. So what I'm saying is, I'm sure people in other companies are realizing the same thing, and they will hire the right person for their needs to do this. So, and that's fucking awesome. And I'm not talking about like, oh, be an influencer and show up on my YouTube channel. No. Strategy, baby. That's it. Everyone's doing it wrong, God damn it. Even though the numbers are in front of us. It's the weirdest shit, right?
So, moving on to the next question is, because I don't think that we actually had enough car talk in this. I know we're over an hour now, but I
hit it.
But I think instead of a warm up question, now this is a cool down question before we get into Farkini's good news, bad news. This comes from Sexiest Mofo, and I like this question a lot, because I think that this is fun, and it's a different take on how we've done this before. But if you had to choose three cars, a daily, a track car, and a car specifically for the drag strip, what would it be? Or what would those three cars be?
A daily, drag strip, and what else?
And a track car.
So easy. Go ahead, Farghini.
Raptor daily. Track. What was the other one?
Track car and drag strip.
Oh,
track
so Demon, because I know nothing about drag racing, and I just want to get in there and just hit the gas and
win. It's not that fast.
The Demon?
Nah. I think like the 720 puts up the same number. I might be talking shit. No? Are you sure?
I think it's a sub 9.
With the right setup.
Yeah.
Because I saw. So when the Demon just came out, it was a 9.9. The one I saw was a 9.9 quarter mile, and my 720S has done it in like 9.8, 9.9.
Okay, but the thing is, I don't want to show up to a drag strip with a 720S. Okay. Do you know what I mean? I just want to be one of the guys.
9.65.
That's so slow. Can you please look up the 720S? It's going to be around those numbers.
Can run 9.7 on car scoops.
Homies, you see what I'm saying?
9.7.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I know, but Alejandro, okay. I do not want to be that guy.
No. I understand. Okay. Then so you're just saying based on looks and why you want to show up.
Okay, so your daily is what?
Raptor.
Okay.
A Demon.
Mm-hmm.
And then a track car?
Track car.
I don't know nothing about track cars. It's some kind of GT3 RSs. Alejandro whispered Senna. No, I don't like the way that looks. I do not. I'm not rolling up in the way that looks. I'm not.
You go to the track.
No. It's some sort of GT3 RSE something. Just I can get in and just start and go.
Get the fuck out of here. What about you?
My daily would be. Oh man, I had a different daily, and now I have to change it because it's not practical. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go with it. The GT4C Lusso would be my daily. Yeah, but I feel like I should be practical and pick an SUV for my daily, but I'm going to go with the 4C Lusso.
Okay.
The drag car. Concept 2.
I thought about that too.
I'm going to go with the Concept 2. And honestly,
I don't even need to know.
You don't have to.
If that doesn't count, I would go with the Concept 1.
Yeah.
As the drag car.
I'm sorry. Can I just ask one question? Yeah. What are you going to do after like four runs where you need more?
It outdid the 918.
Every single run. And then it kept going. You were okay, there.
How many runs are you going to do? How many runs going to do, you think?
We did like 9 or 12 runs.
He said it could go in excess of 20.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay. But good luck with charging your iPhone afterwards. Good luck. Good luck charging your iPhone on the way home. Good luck. That's just me.
What about track car?
And then the track car, I gotta go with the Senna, man. Like, I will take that. Nice. I gotta go. I think that would be the dominant predator, right?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I hope I didn't rain on your parade on that one.
No. Hey, I like the ideas.
He's gonna get two Sennas.
I like the ideas because people like to go with the obvious, right? Are you guys ready?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the obvious here. Daily, my Raptor once it's done.
Okay.
If it comes out the way I want it to come out, which I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
No question about it. Yeah. That's my daily. My dragster. What am I going to pick for my dragster? I probably do either a Tesla Roadster, the new one.
You're going to be that
because
guy?
Because it's so cheap.
You're going to be that guy?
$250 gets me the performance that this guy's going to pay like $2 million for.
You know when we get to the dragster, everyone's like, rawr, rawr, getting ready.
They're like,
oh, I'm just like.
And then all you're going to see. And I'm just going to win. And that's that. And then for my track car, I'm going to pick a back mono.
Ooh.
Because, Yeah.
Wait, you're gonna get Mono's back?
Yes.
Wait,
don't worry about it.
What? You're gonna ride Mono's back?
But I would. Mono. I'm gonna tell you why. It's cheap compared to the Senna.
Yeah.
It can probably do some similar shit as the Senna.
Okay.
And it looks fucking bonkers. And if you crash it, it's way cheaper than the Senna because there's no track fucking insurance for those cars.
That's true.
And also, what about repairs and getting your... Hang on a second. I'm an idiot. I'm just realizing this. Why am I buying the Senna?
Alejandro, this is a fantasy question. Why are you so cheap in this fantasy question?
I know, right?
It's a fantasy question. No,
but now reality settled in. Yeah. And I'm like, why can I just buy the fucking back Mono instead of the Senna?
It's a fantasy question. Just get the Senna if you really want the Senna.
That's what you want.
Yeah, you really want the Senna?
No. I'm scared now. What the fuck just happened?
Just get both.
Yeah.
I just blacked out.
I'll get the Senna. I don't know. Wow. I feel like I just went with Tony Robbins and he just like made me go through that whole thing and I just did it to myself. What the fuck?
I don't even know you anymore.
I know me either. What's going on?
Wow.
Hey, what's going on?
So what's the final verdict?
Back Mono.
Oh, jeez, you still up at the back Mono? It's a fantasy question.
In my fantasy, the Senna, because I have money to repair it every time I crash it.
Good deal. And for the brakes.
Sounds good.
And is money it, for the brakes.
Is it time right now for Barghini's
it's time for Barghini's good news.
Bad
news.
With Barghini.
Don't snooze on his bad news.
Don't snooze. Okay, here we go. Good news. Ford hints a Ranger Raptor may arrive in the U.S.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yep.
Ranger Raptor that may arrive good in
news.
The U.S.
What's the bad news?
Ugh. I checked with Galpin, and there's no cooling off period for my Raptor.
You already paid this much? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Honestly, that would have been the perfect car for you.
I know why you're going to say it to you, piece of shit, because it has a four-cylinder.
Exactly right.
They put a four-cylinder in it. Of course they did.
Even on the Raptor, huh?
I know, yeah, even.
Somebody said that he doesn't need to call that the Puku Raptor. He needs to call his Raptor the Manchester Mauler.
No, that's... Let Puku pay this off. We'll get a Manchester Mauler truck.
Sounds good.
Oh, McLaren. McLaren in the news.
Okay.
That's a good news.
McLaren announces Dell Computers as a new F1 sponsor.
That is great news. I didn't know Dell was the business. What's the bad news?
There has been a delay in the season as they remove all the viruses from the new computers.
Oh,
it's a Dell. It's a PC. They
update all of these.
Yeah. Oh,
everyone's still waiting on the updates update to come and viruses. Through. Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Oh, Ferrari.
There's good news?
No, actually, Ferrari's 2018 engine fires up for the first time for Formula One.
Oh,
so they fired up their Formula One.
And it worked.
Yeah,
good news.
Yeah, they fired it up.
What's the bad news?
Not only did it fire up, it fired down, left, right. It just fucking burned the whole fucking place down.
It didn't burn. No. Oh, like, did it really burn after turned it? No.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's an example of fake news.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I was like, how come they haven't sent me that?
Okay.
What's the good news now, Fagini?
The Nissan Titan, a rival truck. Nissan Titan gets a raise from the factory with a 3-inch lift kit.
That is good news for Nissan owners. What's the bad news?
Raptors up 6 inches.
Do we get it? We're more average than you guys.
Okay.
Because
there's so many other ways it could have gone.
We're keeping it clean, people. Wow. Okay, here we go. Good news. Maserati to seriously cut back on the Levante production.
Oh, no.
Fantastic news. That's it. That's the great news.
I was going to say, what's the bad news?
That's just great news today. And I still can't.
By the way, if Danny's listening to the podcast right now, he's jumping up and down like, fuck yeah. All those Levantes.
Incentives are coming.
All those Levantes are just sitting in every Maserati dealership.
Every time we see Danny, there's more Levantes. Like the Levantes like.
By the way, do you remember getting all those text messages from Farshot about topics for the show?
Yeah.
Every single one of them were his good news.
His good news, bad news. Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't pick any of those topics.
I think that's going to be it for today right
now. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much for joining us, people. Thank you very much, buddy. Thank you very much, Fergini. And you. Everyone at the community at salamandri.com, thank you very much for your comments. Thank you very much for your ideas and suggestions. We're on it, motherfuckers. And we'll see you next time. I'm Alejandro. That's Farshad. That's Buddy. And we do not approve these messages because, you know, we're going to get in trouble if we do. Talk to you later.